All right, well, I have some time. We're going to get into Love and Marriage Detroit, episode 2. So come on in, get comfortable, and let's get into it. All right, so Christina is still reacting to finding out about Brandon working with a new artist, in tears, defeated. On her 11th anniversary, defending herself against Brandon and his friends. The lack of compassion that he has in these first few episodes is just... When I approach reviewing these shows, honestly, it's hard for me to get, you know, like, to get my mind made up because I know it's hard to judge people just based off of what you see. And I try my hardest to give people the benefit of the doubt and to not assume the worst. But this dude, man, the way he doesn't stand in the gap to protect his wife is just hard to see. It's hard to watch. Immediately, everybody's trying to blame Colby. Well, not everybody. Anthony. Anthony's trying to blame Colby. Brandon tries to blame Colby. Russell's just telling her to stay out of grown other people's business. And I'm just kind of like, we all can agree that if Brandon would have just spoken up and talked to his wife, you know, this would have never happened. And I talked about it in my last podcast. Go listen to it if you haven't. I talked about how I feel like he just has this lack of like, It comes off like he just, I don't want to say he's non-confrontational because that's not what it's giving. But like, you don't seem to be able to speak up when it comes to your wife. It doesn't seem that you speak up when it comes to the guys. Like, you just kind of let stuff happen and then try to act like you don't understand how it happened. And it's confusing. So anyway, Christina's frustrated by the lack of communication when it comes to Brandon and his dealings. And Brandon feels he wants to avoid her bad mouth and what he potentially wants to do. And, you know, the thing is, he tries to minimize what he did. Like, oh, you know, it was just this one time with this girl. And it's just kind of like, how dare you? Like, it gives immature. Because, like, I think one of the most mature things you can do is to be able to pull back. And I'm sure a lot of us don't do it most of the time, but the ability to pull back from a situation and try to look at it from all sides instead of just looking at it from your perspective. Same thing when it comes to like kind of how we show up in relationships with people. Whether other people mean well or mean harm is, you know, hard to determine, but we all have to understand that everybody doesn't love on other people the same way. And when you expect people to show up for you the way you show up for them, you're pretty much setting yourself up for disappointment. You know what I mean? Because whether people, like I said, whether they mean well or not, some people just don't know how to love. They don't know how to love other people unless someone says, hey, this is my love language. I love spending time with my friends. I love spending time with my family. I love spending time with my husband, or, you know, getting me gifts. And if you can't afford a gift, please don't feel pressure to buy me a gift, but just, you know, a card or just some kind of way to show that you thought of me. That's what makes me feel good. Whatever that love language is, unless someone just says, hey, just moving forward, because sometimes I get disappointed because I feel like people don't show up for me. This is how my heart, you know, receives love the best. Or whatever, you know what I mean? So, anyway, the fact that Brandon felt like he wasn't wrong in this situation, but also he can acknowledge that he needs to make it right with his wife because this is his person and the person he wants to spend the rest of his life with, it's weird. It's like, what's going on? Because you're talking out of both sides of your neck and it doesn't make any sense. And if this is how you treat your person, like the person you want to show up for, this is terrible. And you need to try harder. you know, and I know we're all imperfect people. So please believe my reviews are coming from a place of I'm just going off of what I see. I don't know these people and I'm not judging, trying to judge them from a harsh critical. I know all your business place. It's just what we see. What I hope is that the people who go through these shows get a chance to reflect back on what they see and learn something and try to be better. Because when you see yourself, when someone pulls that mirror up, a lot of times you're going to see things you don't like, you know? And they're brave to get up here on reality TV and do it because we are so critical as a people, as a society. And so I give my hat off, but I'm still going to call out what I see. That's just what it is. Anyway, moving along, Kobe and Russell, next day, Kobe and Russell are working on a project around the house, and they talk about, they kind of brush over the drama with Brandon and Christina, and, you know, I feel like Kobe was right. Like, I didn't do anything wrong, even though I feel like Kobe wasn't coming completely from a genuine place. Like, I feel she was absolutely trying to put her friend up on game. Right. But I also feel like she knew the cameras were there. She knew she wanted to show up with something. That's how I feel at this moment. But yeah, she basically like, that's not on me. That should never have been on me. That should never have been on her. That's Brandon's business to tell his wife, you know, that's that communication. Like, and so he asked why she hopped in someone else's business. And, you know, Kobe feels like she could have handled it better and differently, but she doesn't feel bad for what she did. And she stands firm that he should have communicated with his wife just the way Russell should communicate with her. And he feels she's being defensive. The energy between them is aggy. Like, again, based off of the first episode, I don't feel love between them. I feel you know, a chemical, like you're good looking, I'm good looking, you know, we look great together, I'm an influencer, or I want to be a pastor, chaplain, whatever. Like, this is a good look for both of us. I'm not saying there's no love, but I don't feel in love. And especially for y'all to only be 3 years into your marriage, I would imagine that I would assume that it would be a lot of in love energy. So just what I see, that's what I see. That's what I feel like I see. You know, she's kind of having a moment, and he basically just kind of looks at her and lets her have go all out, do the most, and in his eyes, and he basically says like, she knows how to get under my skin. And so he just lets her be like, what should I do next time? Should I just not say anything? Or da 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 da. Like, she was, you know, having a moment, getting it all out. Also in that moment, he decided to announce that he wants to become an ordained minister. He also announces that he started school 2 weeks prior to become an army chaplain. He knows that Kobe does not want to be a part of that life because she was a preacher's kid. And so not only does he start school to become a chaplain 2-3 weeks before telling her, but because he knew how she felt, he went to her father to seek counsel and to become his mentor. The amount of manipulation, whether he was aware or not, the amount of manipulation in that move is crazy. It's crazy. So basically, you knew when you chose me to be your wife that I probably, if y'all have as good of a relationship to be married as I would assume you do, and pillow talking and getting to know each other, she has expressed multiple times the hurt, the whatever, you know, trauma or whatever feeling she has about being a preacher's kid and why she would not want that life. And for you to turn around, probably already knowing that when you married her, and to say that you want to become a chaplain because God spoke to you, which means you're trying to tell her, basically, you know, she's going to be in a position of, I'm not going to question what you feel God is telling you. And then for you to go to her dad, a person who was part of the things that she does, the part of the reason she doesn't want to be a pastor's wife, and to seek him as your mentor, you backed her into a corner. Russell backed her into a corner and tried to leave her with no options. And that is not cool. That's not cool. in that moment, that felt so manipulative, and it felt like, I don't even know the right metaphor for it, but it didn't feel good. She's obviously frustrated that he didn't communicate about these dreams that he had. And he tells her, oh, on top of that, I want to buy a gym, you know, to help make some money. And she's upset that he waited until this moment on camera to tell her. And he, after all of that, proceeds to tone check her. I don't even know if I have the words, because it's like, I'm gonna just keep going before I say. Russell tells her, you know, he says that as his helpmaid, she needs to get on board with these new dreams. And he wants her to be submissive. And although she wants to be submissive, she still needs her wrap her mind around his request. The way that men or people, I'm not gonna just put it on men, the way that people sometimes use God in the Bible to almost pin someone down, or to put them in a corner, or to leave them with little to no options is, it's like, why do you do that to somebody who is your helpmate? Someone that's supposed to be your best friend? Oh, wait, that's right. She's your homie. She's not your homie lover friend. That's just your homie. Again, where's the in love energy? Don't feel it, don't see it, not present in these moments. Moving on, Brandon and Christina just moved into their new penthouse and they're talking about his new artist. He feels like he needs his wife to approve of it or it won't work. And this is what I'm talking about. We're talking out both sides. And from what we're seeing in person, you have such disdain and disgust because it basically looks like you blame her for you not being more successful. She is the reason. She's the one holding you back from being at the level that your friends are at. I think he all but says that later on at some point. And the amount of aggravation, disdain, hurt, annoyance that you have with your wife makes me uncomfortable. Because y'all have been together, 11 years? And I know that in marriages, there are rough spots. I know that. I know. But not only for you to feel that way, but to show up like in a way, it's like you showed up like that on camera. You ain't even trying to protect her. But on the other hand, I think the thing that reality TV is missing these days is genuine stories. I almost feel like sometimes reality shows can't really go longer than 5 years unless there's just constantly something going on. Because in real life, I've said this on other podcasts of mine, in real life, people don't have drama 24/7, 365. That's not real life. Most of the time, people just, you know, they're just trying to get through. They're just living day to day. They're dropping off their kids. They're taking them to activities. They're trying to show for their family and be everything for everybody. You know what I mean? But they're not like going through relationship drama, going through financial drama, changing their career. Like, they're not going through, you know, finding out there's a side baby. Like, that's not going on all the time. So sometimes I feel like people need to be cycled through, you know, and maybe like, okay, we're gonna follow you for 3-4 years. But once it starts becoming stale and it feels like these are things that we're coming up with, then we need to move on and maybe we'll come back to you in a little while. Because people don't want to watch people just be normal and have a, you know, chill life. No, they want them to be full of drama. So people fabricate drama. And it's just kind of like, you know. Anyway, I digress. I give Brandon credit for being genuine because he's genuinely pissed off with his wife and it shows. But the way that it shows up for like as a lack of care and compassion for his wife is also hard to watch. So, he then moves his, after while they're talking, he moves his attention to the fact that Kobe is the reason that all this is happening, and she should be mad at her because the news that broke came from her. Dude, what? You won't just say, you know what? Like, how much easier could things have been if he just was like, you know what? Honestly, I messed up, you know, because of the things that have happened in the past. You know, I didn't want you to be upset. I didn't want you to shut it down. So I made a decision that I shouldn't have. And it's nobody else's fault but mine, because it should have come from me first. And I shouldn't have waited to tell you. Like, if you're going to tell your friends, yeah, you could be like, it's a code, don't tell nobody. But instead of running to your friends, why wouldn't you want to run to your best friend and tell her first? If you want to build up trust, this is not how you do it. If it's that you're so, like, the thing is, you did something. The seed that started the distrust was you going behind her back and telling someone you're halfway out your marriage and you're not happy, right? That sprouted a weed that has continued to grow. And instead of being upfront with your wife, you probably come at her like, ugh, I know you're probably going to say no, but, you know, I want to go to the club with the fellas. Oh, that's not an option for me? Ugh, fine. That's fine. I'll just do other stuff and I won't tell her, because I'm gonna get to the bag. I'm gonna get to my dreams and my goals. So yes, you want to get to your dreams, but the person you're supposed to be building a life with, you're completely cutting her out. And if you wanted to build a road somewhere, you can't go around making deals, doing things, bringing on new artists and not telling her, because when she finds out, whether it'd been through someone else or you told her, say you told her a week later, you're like, yeah, I had this artist. Or you're going to tell her when you signed her and be honest about it. Or you're going to tell her your vision for her and be honest about her. Or you're going to tell her, look, just so there's no awkwardness, I want you to meet her. Come on down to Star Factory, bring the girls so that you can see her, see why she's so dope and why I think we could do some amazing things with her, so that that she can build trust in you. Those things may get you what you want versus hiding and lying and then deflecting and putting that on somebody else. Just a thought. He then also tries to shift the blame and, you know, tries to shift the narrative away from him. And he talks about how he feels like Kobe is swaggerjacking Christina based off an idea that she came, I guess an idea that Christina talked to Kobe with, and all of a sudden Kobe was doing something basically, you know, the same. And Christina's like, no, that's my girl. Like, that's my sis. I don't want to believe she would do anything like that. And he's like, I don't know, I'm just saying. And I'm like, oh, so you're gonna breed discourse between the two of them because you're upset that everybody found out that you're a liar. Oh, okay. In the next scene, Dr. LaToya reflects on taking her husband Anthony's role in the house for granted while he was gone in Atlanta. You know, I think she realized how much of a helpmate he was. And that's the crazy, even Anthony. It's like you want to have this men's group and all this stuff, and you make it sound like you really don't like women. And even though that may not be true, that's the way it comes across. When it really, there's some deep-seated things that, like, I wish there wasn't a stigma about therapy in the Black community, because it's like, you need help. You need to be able to sit down with your wife and a therapist and talk through this stuff and be like, I wanted these things and they didn't happen, because it keeps coming back to Atlanta. We're talking about Atlanta, you know, in this upcoming scene, because, you know, like I said, beginning, Dr. LaToya was talking about how, you know, she really realized how much of a force he was when he was away in Atlanta. He needs to sit down with someone, not spread this man movement, which may be rooted in something different for you. But now you got, it's like this army of men who are like, yeah, Black women, they don't support us. They don't love us. You know, single women, y'all the reason for da 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 da. No ownership, just pointing fingers all over the place, but each other. Anyway, Dr. LaToya and Anthony are planning for a wine tasting, and Dr. LaToya is shocked that Christina didn't know about what was going on with Brandon's business as far as bringing on a new artist. And Anthony, what? Does not blame Kobe? Oh, but he blames Russell for telling his wife. Bruh, you cannot be serious. Like, you didn't think for a second, like, my boy Brandon really should have spoke to his wife. Hello? What? Dr. LaToya says she could relate to their situation And Anthony's like, hold on, like, wait, how? What? And, you know, she's like, you know, not maybe not exactly the same, but like when you went to Atlanta and, you know, he's like, it's different. You gave me your blessing and then you wasn't feeling it. And, you know, she talks about there was a situation going on with the kids at the school and she needed him. And I'm just kind of like, man, that is a tough thing about relationships, because I think when both people have dreams, unfortunately, someone at some point kind of has to take a back burner, and someone at some point maybe have to make a sacrifice that they didn't intend to or had no desire to, you know? And I feel like, you know, I think that we're going to come to find that LaToya maybe has a lot of people who've supported her, and Anthony hasn't always felt that same love and support. But that's no reason to go and make a man's movement. That's something you need to speak to a professional about and work through those feelings. I think that would serve you and the people around you better. The fellas meet up at the club. Brandon is uncomfortable going over the top, being very immature because a girl's got her little bodysuit and tights on and, you know, little cheekage is there. So he puts his hand up so it's to block that he's looking at her because he's worried that Anthony will put him on blast later. And I'm just like, dude, you've seen a butt before. It's different when you staring, looking like you drooling at the mouth, trying to stare her down. That's worse. It's a butt, okay? It's there, whatever. I'm ordering my drink and I'm going to keep it pushing. You know what I mean? Like, you're making it worse. You're making it more obvious that you just feel so tempted. You know, if you look at those cheeks, next thing you know, she's going to end up in your lap. You know, like, come on. He just didn't want to take that chance. And I'm sure he's going to find a way to point it back at Christina. Like, it's her fault that I'm this way. If she trusts me, I wouldn't have to do this. But you helped breed the distrust. Anyway, Russell says he used to be in the club several days a week, but he wasn't portraying a life that was, you know, true to God's calling. And, you know, Brandon said he would be in the club making connections. Russell apologizes for the news about the artist coming up. And in the midst of them talking, Brandon gets a call from his wife. In some kind of way, Christina's like, oh, what you doing? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm out with guys. And she was like, oh, is that Bravo's voice? That's one of their friends. And he's like, huh, what? No. He's like, are you at the club? Like, no, I'm not at the club. Which I was like, this feels very staged, because you're hearing the music or thump, thump, thump that don't sound like drums, okay, at the church. You knew, like, this felt very forced. Whether he texted you before and was like, hey, go ahead and call me and act like you want to know where I'm at, or the producers told him to do it. I don't know, but it felt like it didn't even make sense. It didn't even flow together. Like, what are you doing here? I'm not an idiot. I know that there's no way you could confuse whatever music's playing in the club with music that you think is playing in the church. And she's like, hallelujah. Like, I wasn't feeling that. I felt like that was... They were trying to do something and it didn't go the way that they planned. The fellas get the tea on the fact that Brandon was, you know, the whole reason that Christina feels some kind of way is because Brandon was venting to an artist about how he wasn't happy in his marriage and he was 1 foot out and he had sent her all these messages, left his laptop at home. Christina opens up the laptop and all these messages come up. And she sees what he says, what he was saying to this artist that she had been helping out. And, you know, yeah, that was pretty much what started all this, these issues. He says, he's said multiple times nothing physical happened. And a part of me wants to believe him, but a part of me is like, you, the way you don't take ownership for stuff, I don't know, man. I don't know. But that's what he said. Shall we take a break? Let's see what. About 24 minutes. Let's take a quick break and we'll wrap up the episode. And we're back. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. Brandon brings up Kobe again And Russell was kind of like, no, that's on me to take the blame. And he was like, you know, you could have taken it up with me anytime. And Brandon was like, he shrinks a little bit and he admits, trying to joke, like he didn't want to smoke because Russell is bigger than him. And I was like, yeah, like you don't seem to give much of, I stand up to anybody. Again, therapy, man. I could use therapy. Listen, we all could use therapy. Therapy. It's a beautiful thing. Try it. Priceless. In the next scene, Kobe and Christina meet up. Kobe was trying to do something nice for Christina to celebrate the anniversary. And they talk about all the stuff that was going down. And they relate on the fact that their husbands communicate poorly, terribly. Not much more happened there. We move on to the wine tasting event that is happening. Opulence Wines. And it's at, like, I think, like, the first Black-owned wine. I don't know if it's considered a wine bar, but something, I think it's something like that. And it's Black-owned, and that was amazing. But the way that y'all act a fool, because y'all did act a fool. I know that lady was like, y'all brought me on TV to help promote me, and then y'all do this? That's what we can have nice things. That's why. Anyway, the wine tasting event is going on, and Christina invited her friend Chelsea. And Chelsea, they show Chelsea and Anthony talk, like kind of have an interaction. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. But everyone's talking, and Anthony lets it slip that Brandon was at the club. Slip, right, staged. Christina doubles down that she does not want her husband at the club. And Anthony basically brushes off her words. He's like, man, you know, like, that's not your guy. He's not that type of dude. And Chelsea speaks up on behalf of her friend Christina, kind of wondering, like, why are you so involved? Like, why you have so much stake in the game of their marriage? And Anthony, first of all, we already peeped that Anthony is very comfortable going back and forth with women, which, not to say he can't, but the way that he goes back and forth, it's like, why? Like, what's going on here? He goes in on this friend, Chelsea. He calls her a little girl. Christina, you've stepped your game up and you don't need to be around people like this. This little girl coming at me. Like, I don't know if he grew up with sisters. I don't know what's going on, but that he has a lot of fight in him. And I'm really curious what's behind that. Like, I really hope that we get a chance to uncover, because Anthony, a lot of times he kind of has like a, I don't want to say a cattiness, but kind of like, that's not the right word, but that's the word that comes to my mind about how he handles conflict. And the way he went in on her, I was just like, this is not appropriate. Like, you could have easily said, hey, that's my boy, and I got his back. Like, I got to have his back. And talked about your man movement or whatever. But to call this woman a little girl, who I'm thinking maybe y'all have, this may not be the first time y'all met. I don't know. It was weird and it was uncomfortable. And his wife just looked down and shook her head, just like she did at the picnic. Just looked down and shook her head. So clearly this is something that is common. It's not uncommon for him to do. That's very clear. And I felt embarrassed for her. I felt embarrassed for him. I felt a lot of things. I was just like, oh, what's happening? Like, why did it go from 0 to 100 between you and this woman that I'm assuming you didn't know before this? Thoughts? Discussions? Can we dig deeper? I don't know what's happening here. And that's pretty much where we left off, in the middle of drama again. I should be reviewing episode 3 before the week is over, but we'll see. I'm trying to just not overwhelm myself, because it's a lot when you got 3 kids and one of them is a baby. So I'm trying to be realistic with myself, but I should have episode 3 up in the next few days. If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate you. I would love to get some feedback. My email is gowtfpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know how you feel about it. Do you like this show? Do you like the people? Are you planning to watch it? Are there other shows that you want to listen to? I'm ready to hear it all. I'm ready to like do this thing. If the people want it, I want to provide the service. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Please listen to me wherever you hear your favorite podcast and share it with a friend. Like somebody who's going to be like, yes, sis, I feel the same way. Or nah, the dudes ain't do nothing wrong. Let's talk about it. I'm ready to get into it. Thank you so much. And, you know, come see me. Come see me. Come see me. Bye, y'all.